Hello, all my lovely lovelies. Good to see you for a Wednesday nightcap. Oh, forgot to turn this light on. Let's turn that one on. We have all sorts of folks here today, including Ms. Tiffany Chanel, the beautiful Ms. Tiffany Chanel. Please, if you do not follow Ms. Tiffany Chanel, make sure you follow her here on Twitch. All of her streams are great, fun, funny. Especially when she plays Resident Evil games, and then she's like, "Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do?" And then like an enemy jumps out, and she like ducks and dives and does all sorts of shit. A lot of fun. King Dinosaur is here with Moose. Black Cat's here with, I think, Sheep. Krista's here with some hellos, and we also have Moogle87 with nipples and balls. perfect impression. Except for this mess. Except for this mess. Sorry for starting a little late. I had a. I heard sounds outside. I'm like, what the fuck is that? As it turns out, there are two cats. One cat on the end of like the wall over here, and then another cat over there. And I don't know if they're like ready to get it on or they're fighting or what they're doing, but they're like staring at one another. And I was like, oh. There's a mystery box outside. I will probably show you what's in the mystery box Monday. It's pretty funny. It's a great Halloween thing. Yeah, it was kitties. I was like, "Hi, kitty, kitty," and it just had that like, "Don't you come near me. I'm in the middle of some shit, dude. I'm not ready to play Happy Paw, Catty Cat." Yes, there's a mystery box. There's a mystery box outside. 99% sure. I know who it's from. Yes, it is not, unfortunately, Mr. Peppercorn. Mr. Peppercorn lived his lovely life in a jar. He kept Black Cat company for a very long time and is apparently disintegrated into a pile of goo. So that's going to be it, unfortunately, for Mr. Peppercorn. Today's show can go well. The half of it is very not fun. I was like, for October, we need some terrifying content, and this is terrifying content in a spooky, awful, creepy way that's real. So we may need to do a chaser after that of either goofball movies on YouTube or some other silliness conversation, whatever the fuck you guys want to have. Yeah, it's harrowing. Moogle87 is going to be posting a lot of the Brando Stay Puft Marshmallow guys. But how are all the rest of you doing? Hope as we've crossed the middle of the week, everything was going well for you. Desi's butt is also here with a hello, everyone. That's how he talks now. Yeah, and just so you know, Desi, if so, I'm going to have a little bit of a narration. We're going to narrate a little bit of a tale and a story. So if you and Krista can keep on top of things in case I miss anything while we're in the middle, it's a Tiffany Chanel stopped in the other day while we were talking about something relatively disgusting and hilarious and had to nope out. This is a whole different level of it's serious and it's so Miss Tiff's gonna get cozy for that. Hope all the rest of you get cozy. Let's cozy up with a nice drink, perhaps, or whatever else you like to enjoy while you enjoy a nightcap, and let the soothing sounds of my voice carry you away to the land of terror. I also notice, and actually, I feel like it wasn't doing it for a little while, that max headroom thing where my camera was like glitching. I feel like now that we've gone back to Twitch, that's not happening as much. And actually, the little encoder thing that I'm using keeps the CPU nice and low. Puts more load on the GPU, which I like, given this is a cheap old crap computer. And we are going to fix that when we get to... By the way, I don't... We're going to break this into maybe three parts. Here's an update portion, okay? The update portion is this. For those of you who may not have heard, whether it was on Kick or whatever otherwise, yes, I'm going to be moving again. I am weighted now and have building anxiety and excitement, but highly likely that I'm going to be closing on a house in the very, very near future. That house has an awesome view. It's right on the side of a mountain. I will have a balcony that looks at the mountain, be able to explore the mountain. And there's a portion in the back that basically, it's a walk-in closet that's big enough with, even with my fairly large wingspan, to not touch the walls. So I'm probably going to make that into a work office / streaming cave. So when we get in there, I'm going to upgrade some of this stuff a little bit. I'm going to get rid of this using this little TV for this. The resolution just is not cutting it. So we're going to upgrade that a little bit, change around the way the desk and shit is in here. So we will be back at that point to doing some point redemptions with some videos, and we'll do the drawing redeems. If you guys want to hear a goofball drawing redeems, I will probably start playing a little bit of some retro video games and stuff in there. I got to watch my pennies for, you know, they say watch the pennies and the dollars mind themselves. I got to watch my pennies on going out a lot and doing all that shit. So I will probably be spending more time at the gym and playing games to save some cash. So there's that. Makers is good. Makers is solid. Here's where I got some appreciation for Makers. Side offshoot. Jack Daniels, if you aren't familiar, changed their formula at one point to have, like, I think it's slightly less alcohol or something in it. And the reason why they did that was because then they could make more with limited supply, pass the savings on to you, which they never really did because I swear it's probably more expensive than it's ever been. Makers, at one point, there was, I think, a barley shortage or something like that. And Makers had announced they thought they were going to do the same thing. They were going to alter the proofage a little bit so that they could supply more product to people that wanted it. And there was an overwhelming negative backlash where people are like, no, do not do it. Do not change your formula one bit. We would rather, if there's less of it, we want the same quality with the same product. Please do not. And Maker backed off on it. They said, you know what? We are just overwhelmed with how much support we got from our customers that said they didn't want us to change this. And so we're listening to you. We're not going to do it. We may be a little bit lower in volume, but we're keeping the shit the same. Thank you so much for all of your continued libational recreations. So I like that. I liked that a lot. That was it gets high marks, no pun intended, from me. Yeah, man, just, you know, a little bit of ice, a little bit of water. I like putting a tiny little pinch of some lemon or lime in there, just a tiny little bit. So like, it's what I did with this vodka. Do a tiny little pinch of that, a little bit of water, and then just the straight up spirit. You're good. You know, you know, sugar, you know, horseshit. But thank you, Ms. Tiff, for the congrats. I appreciate that. But yeah, growing anxiety over that horseshit. But it's now 99.9% repeating that it will happen. Everything else has been sorted out, shaped up, tricked up, however you want to call it, whatever you want to say. What do they want me to do? Where do they want me to go? It's going to happen. It's going to happen. I'm almost at the end of the road of the constant phone calls and research and papers and forms and checks. God damn it, what a lot of fucking work this shit is. And I'm so ready to just get to, okay, we're here now. This, we're going to stay for a bit. Let's just focus on that and not have to do so much administrative paperwork. Like, I can't, you guys, like, maybe, Black Cat, maybe you remember this. I remember this a little bit. But I have, like, everything basically set up on a series of auto pays and all that. The idea of getting paper bills and having to write out checks and do all that shit, how the fuck did people ever manage? How did they ever manage that with working and or kids and all that? How? I would have just torn my hair out if I had any. Well, I guess I could tear my facial hair out. I'd tear my mustache off and I would run onto the street howling at the moon and just fucking flip the fuck out. They spent all their goddamn time balancing a checkbook. It's true.
Oh, I got to balance the checkbook this month and buy some stamps.
Reverend Master, hello. Driving past the mailbox like a speed demon. Oh, just managing all those papers and letters and stamps. And okay, well, it's the weekend and I'm going to spend my whole weekend day filling out bills. Got to pay some bills. Maybe of all the things that computers have done for us, other than this show and all of you lovely people, it's auto pay. Sometimes I looked at the checkbook when I was stuck in traffic. Oh my God. So yes, moving time coming up. May have to do a pause on some shows. I don't know how that's going to all wrangle out. But I will keep you all in the loop on that. But yeah, it's going to be a big thing. Got a lot of work to do because, of course, I have to pack and do all that shit and get all that done. And then arrange for utilities and get internet over there. Not my favorite. So we're going to, unless anybody has anything they want to ask and or talk about, we're about ready to get into some serious yikes yowzers level story time. Meow the cat is here. And he's,
I'm sliding into shadows while trying to wake up. Opened my eyes 2 minutes ago.
Oh, so you're like a sleepy cat. So you can be, you can go hang out with the two cats that are hanging out on my retaining wall outside. If those cats start caterwauling and wake me up in the middle of the night, I'm going to be fucking pissed. Pissed. Hope not. Hope they're nice kitties. Just sleep on the wall. Yeah, see, just like that. Go to just go to sleep. Be a nice kitty. Be a nice kitty. Just purr. We don't want any hissing. We just want nice purrs and some little trilling sounds and meows, and then do your little sleepy tail move and blinks and just go to the sleeper, hold the cat, get it rear naked choke. I got you, cat. Hey, did you see that maniac neighbor? He's out in the street. He's out in the street putting submission holds on cats. Hey, dude, he's cut up to shit. Body slam it if it bites. All right, so we're at a 20-minute mark. Let's get this started. This particular story resonated a lot with me because ever since I've been little, I've had terrible sinuses, and I have bad allergies. Always, especially in the fall and the spring in Michigan where I grew up, sinus problems, sneezing, just sinus congestion terribly. Bad allergies to a lot of stuff. You know, grass would make your skin itchy. The weeds would make me itchy. You know, the whole idea of let's jump in a leaf pile As much as I desperately wanted to do that, and oftentimes would, I would pay for it in spades with how much I would get congested and how much my nose would run. And when things moved on and progressed, I got better. I think I'm better now than I ever used to be. And I know at some point, some people were like, oh, well, you know, this whole thing about having to respect people's peanut allergies, well, you can't have a peanut butter sandwich in school, ridiculous, and blah, blah, blah. And like, well, you know, as much as I would like to say, yeah, too bad for you, on the other hand, that's serious and way more serious than the allergies I had. I never had to worry about my throat closing or my skin swelling up or anything like that. Except I do have some relatives, some very little girl, one very young niece of mine, and she has very severe allergies to a lot of stuff, to the point where that could kill her. And she and her family have had to go through very expensive and arduous medical treatments to try to figure out both all of what she is allergic to and also to try to get her body resistant to some of those things, to the point where even if it irritates her a little bit, it won't cause her to die, either for her throat to close up or anything like that. And so, you know, it's when people say allergies, I think they think of, oh, you get a little sniffle, suck it up. Well, it's easier said than done if you've never had that before. Either severe allergies from a sinus perspective, or having suddenly your breathing stop, or your throat closing, or your skin breaking out in some horrible, painful, itchy rash. And so, even though Moogle's being silly, a little silly, I don't mind a nice nut butter sandwich like almond, cashew, hazelnut. I mean, look, I like peanuts and all the rest of that stuff too. But if I thought that was going to cause physical harm to someone else around me by having it, I wouldn't do it. Also because, again, I know how serious that is. And I don't think some people necessarily get quite how serious of a problem it can be, which brings me to tonight's story, which I came across on ye olde internet. And I am warning you right now, this is not a happy story. It is graphic in a sense. If you are quote unquote triggered by such things, then you may want to skip this portion of the show, because this is no laughing matter, and it's very serious, and it's very sad, and it's terrifying. Okay, now that being out of the way, I am going to at least put a pause break in here for those of you who are listening to this as a podcast. After the break, you're going to hear some serious shit. So get ready. Okay, so here we go. Let's begin this tale of, for lack of any other better word, terror. Hello, I am a first-time poster, but I discovered this subreddit a few months ago. I was talking about this with my therapist, and she gave me the homework of speaking out more about my story to see if it lessened my pain. I've written and deleted this post maybe 7 times now, but I think it's time to get it out. I've spoken English for 30 years, but it's not my first language, and I occasionally use the wrong word. I apologize in advance if I'm confusing. This happened 12 years ago, 2 months, and 13 days on Wednesday, November 2nd, 2005. My DH, which stands for darling husband, got married in 2002, and we had our son 10 months later in the same year. In May of 2004, we welcomed our twin girls. My family was beautiful. Every time I took a picture of us, we looked like the families in the stock photos you can Google for. My husband is an engineer, and I'm a college professor. We had a nice house in the city. Our children were happy and healthy. We even had a golden retriever named Argo, as if we weren't the picture of familial happiness as is. I can no longer look at the pictures of us because it makes me too angry to. When my twin girls were born, we had no issues in the hospital. They were born right on their due date, hatched perfectly, and passed all their postnatal tests with stellar stats. When we brought them home, however, we noticed that one of the girls, let's call her OD, since she was a whole 4.5 minutes older than her sister, was developing a rash. I hadn't really dealt with allergies in kids since my son didn't have them, and neither did any child or adult in my entire family. I wasn't sure what it was. I thought maybe she just had sensitive skin like me. I can't tolerate certain fabrics because I have very dry skin, and I'll often break out in rashes if my skin decides that it doesn't like something. So I stopped using fabrics softener in all the clothes. I bought the nicest, most comfortable bedding and clothes, and at one point I even made clothes myself in the fear that maybe something in the manufacturing process was upsetting my older daughter. We went to the doctor several times, and they knew that she was having an allergic reaction to something, but every test came back negative, and we couldn't figure out what it was. It took 3 more months to figure it out. During that time, her allergic reactions got more and more severe. At one point, she was the only baby in the history of the hospital who had to be kept in a clean room because she seemed to have a reaction the minute she left. When that happened, we began an elimination therapy that would rival the lifestyle of Buddhist monks. My husband had moved our son and the younger daughter in with his parents because we needed to eliminate everything from our routine to figure out what was causing the reaction. We stopped using our soap, our shampoo, our deodorants, laundry detergents, and that was before we even got to our diet. It took 3 more months, but we figured it out. Our older daughter was allergic to coconut. The doctors told us that it was a particularly rare allergen, and so it wasn't on any of the skin test panels that they ran. When we found out she was allergic, we were relieved, so relieved. But in addition to feeling relieved, I delved into a bout of hysterical laughter. I laughed so hard I cried, and to this day, my husband tells me that he didn't know if I was crying from relief or pure happiness. You see, I come from a culture that uses coconut almost religiously. It's in our cooking. We break a coconut open at religious events. It's used in almost all sweets. It's in everything. The reason I was laughing was because of how much I hated one particular use for coconut. When I was a kid, pretty much up until I was in the 8th grade class, my mother would put coconut oil in my hair all the time. It looked greasy as hell. I hated it. And once I was old enough to start doing my own hair, I never put it in my hair again. I was laughing so hard because, of course, I had a daughter with a severe allergy to the one thing I hated my entire life. We had a lot of fun telling people about her allergy, and everyone laughed because they all knew about my hatred for coconut oil. We told my mother, and she laughed as well. She made jokes about how my baby must have heard me talking about my hatred for coconut oil while she was still cooking inside me and decided that she needed to hate it too. We all had a good laugh. And left it at that. Or so I thought. My mother and I have always had a contentious relationship at best. We got along well enough, but we disagreed vehemently on certain topics. She wanted a traditional daughter who'd be religious, get her MRS degree, marry a man she and my father picked out, have 2 kids, a house in the suburbs, be a stay-at-home mom. I'm not religious in the slightest. I got 2 undergraduate degrees, got a master's, PhD, didn't get married until 27, late in my culture, and married a man who was the polar opposite of what my parents wanted. As if this wasn't enough, I was a working mom who didn't need her to babysit since my husband and I made more than enough money for a part-time nanny. Essentially, the best way I can summarize our relationship is by saying that she was very proud of me and loved to talk about my accomplishments, but I could always tell that she wished I was something else. We have a fair amount of safe topics that we can talk about, but I could never discuss anything too serious with her, such as politics or my career. Not because she'd get mad at me, but more so because she just wasn't interested, and I hate getting into conversations where I'm passionate and the other person could care less. And as far as raising my kids, my mother was a just yes 99.9% of the time. She was hands-off and respected all of my decisions, even if she didn't like them. The only thing she continually got on my case about was the coconut oil thing. You see, my girls have very textured and curly hair. Don't really know where they got it from, considering my husband and I have pinned straight hair that won't even hold a paperclip without slipping. And I loved it. It was a little on the rough side, but my mother always insisted that a little bit of oil would make the curls soft and more defined. I always said no. Sure, we could have used a different type of oil, but my girls were still young, and all the allergy process that made me terrified of incorporating new things into the routine. I made sure I explained why to my mom, too. She remembered what we'd gone through with the older daughter and her allergy. She brought me food and clothes at the hospitals more than a few times. She helped me move all my furniture and clothes out of my house when I was eliminating every possible source of allergen. She taught me how to cook from scratch when I was eliminating certain foods from the kids' diet. She knew everything about my older daughter's struggle. To this day, I cannot understand how she did what happened next. November 2nd, 2005. I was giving a midterm that day to my students, and I had to be in my research lab late that night. My husband was away at some conference, and her nanny was down with the flu, so she couldn't watch the kids. So I had my mom come take them for the day. My son was almost 3 years old, and the girls were a year and a half. Overnight visits with my parents weren't exactly common, but they weren't unusual either. They had always come back from these visits very happy and well taken care of, so I had no second thoughts about leaving them with my parents. They spoke to me on the phone after lunch, and then around 5 p.m., we video chatted. The kids were all so happy and healthy. I got home around 10:30 p.m. that night and called my mom to see if the kids were up by any chance and I could say goodnight. I missed the kids about 20 minutes. They'd already gone to bed. So I talked to my mom for a little bit, but she's a pretty early sleeper too, so I hung up and went to bed. My heart's racing. I woke up around 5 a.m. the next morning to go pick up my husband from the airport at 6. We were going to get breakfast together and then go pick up the kids. I picked up my husband, and neither one of us was very hungry yet, so we thought it would be a nice treat. Pick up the kids first and go to breakfast and brunch with my parents. We got to my parents' house at 7:45 a.m. My parents weren't there. My son was at the neighbor's house and ran outside with the neighbor as soon as he saw his daddy and I pull up. He was hysterical and crying, and I couldn't calm him down. My blood pressure was rising because now I'm thinking that something horrible had happened to my parents. My neighbor tells me she isn't sure what's happening, but there is an ambulance at my parents' house at 6 a.m., and my dad had run over and woken them up to see if they could watch my son for a few hours until he got back. Of course, they said yes. I'm calling my parents nonstop at this point, and I'm getting frantic because I don't know what has happened. My son was still crying, but he had calmed down. He still couldn't really explain to me what had happened, though. I honestly don't remember the details of what happened next, but somehow we figured out that the ambulance was from a nearby hospital, and we broke several driving laws trying to get there. We got to the hospital, pulled into the emergency entrance that was for ambulances only, left the car, and bolted inside. A few nurses took notice of us immediately and were asking us what was wrong. I was calmer than my husband at this point, so I explained that I didn't know, but my twin girls and my parents were here somewhere. I'll never forget the look on that nurse's face. She knew exactly who I was in that moment, and she was about to cry. Another nurse took me and my husband to an empty room and asked us to calm down and listen to the doctor before we went to find my family. My mother had put coconut oil in both my daughters' hair when they were playing the previous day before bed. The girls loved it when my mom did their hair, and so they had asked for braids, and my mom was doing that. She put coconut oil in both their hair because it would make for smoother braids. According to my son, the older daughter started to get dizzy and itchy when my mom was doing her hair, so my mom gave her some kids' Benadryl, which made her sleepy. Since it was close to bedtime anyways, the kids then went to bed. Giving her Benadryl was something we did whenever she had a mild reaction, since it usually meant she accidentally came across some coconut from a secondary source. We also showered her from head to toe immediately to erase any lingering traces of it. My mother simply gave her some Benadryl and kept the coconut oil in her hair and put her to fucking sleep. The Benadryl made her sleepy and unable to wake up or be conscious enough to wake up her brother or cry. She vomited in her sleep, and the rash spread all over. Her little body was swollen to twice her normal size. She had asphyxiated in her sleep. She died painfully and slowly in the early hours of the morning. My mother had found her when she went to check on the kids in the morning around 7 a.m. She was already dead by then. My mother screamed, called for my dad, and that's when they'd gone to the hospital. My dad hadn't known about the coconut oil until my mom explained, and to this day, I've never seen my father so angry. He was still unable to look at my mother out of fury or me out of shame when I saw him at the hospital. They had rushed to the hospital hoping there was some way to save my daughter and to get the younger daughter checked out immediately, since he thought she might have a mild allergy as well. I can't even explain to you the emotions my husband and I felt. I remember seeing my little girl and just being in denial. There's no way she was gone. This had to be a horrible, horrible nightmare. The following days, the funeral, and explaining to my other kids what had happened are events I still can't talk about because it just breaks a part of me. My mother was investigated, as was my entire family. I almost lost my kids to my country's version of CPS because they thought the kids were in danger. My husband and I had to fight tooth and nail to show that uprooting them during this time would be the worst thing for them. My mother was never arrested. My father did leave her, though they're not officially divorced. The majority of my mother's family refuses to speak to her, and the few that do only do so on a limited basis. She lives on her own in a small town, and every couple of months, I'll get a call from her telling me how sorry she is and how she just wasn't thinking, and can I please find a way to forgive her? She wants to come see me, and the only thing I can find to ever say to her is, "You can come see me when you bring my daughter with you." It's been 13 years. The older son just got his license, and the younger daughter is going to start high school. Both of them are healthy, and they're turning into amazing adults, but neither one has been the same since the other daughter passed. The son is extremely protective of his younger sister and doesn't allow anyone to breathe rudely in his presence. The younger sister used to be so bubbly and such a talkative little child, but she's quiet now. When she does speak, it takes some effort to hear her because she's so quiet. She told me a few years ago that she knows she was only a baby when it happened, but she feels incomplete all the time, like a part of her is missing. I don't even know what to say to her. If it weren't for my husband, I don't think I could have recovered from the loss of my daughter. We have helped each other through the loss. It's taken over a decade of therapy to even get to this point. I don't know what I expect to get out of typing all this, but I've seen how much comfort this can bring to other posters, so hopefully I find some of the same peace. Thank you for reading. So, that to me is a horror. We've talked many times before. I love horror movies, but anytime someone says, "Oh, is this a real scary movie?" I'm like, I can't judge that anymore, because none of these movies are really scary to me. What's scary to me are stories like that. And the reason why they're scary to me is because I know that there are some people who just refuse to believe the fact that you have a condition that is serious enough or painful enough, whether you hide that very well or you never complain. I've had times where I've been in agony all day. And when you aren't chipper and smart, and you say, "Oh, a little pain. Just take some aspirin and suck it out." Like, dude, I am in absolute horrendous pain. So please don't try to trivialize that with your fucking silly nonsense. And in this case, I cannot believe what the mother was thinking in her head. She knew how allergic that daughter was. And yet, I imagine she still probably thought somewhere in the back of her head, "Oh, it's really not that bad. Oh, some Benadryl and she'll be fine." can't do that. You can't know how serious some, and if somebody else asks you in this sense to respect that condition, you don't necessarily have to respect the condition. You don't. But that also means that you should, at the very least, fuck off. Don't go out of your way to introduce something like that to someone who tells you, hey, like, this is a medical condition that's causing me a lot. Like, it's one thing if somebody says, oh, can you not say the word shit? That language bothers me. This is like physical pain and or death. So, no, don't put the fucking coconut oil on the girl's head. I don't care if you don't like their hair or not. It will kill them. They have a horrendous allergic reaction, and you fractured yourself and your family and everything else in doing so. So, you know, I don't want to say, I hope at some point the mother finds her grace to, the person writing the story finds the grace to eventually forgive her mother. And the reason why I can't say that is because I ain't been through that scenario. I get it, though. I will tell you this. You ever want to, I hesitate to say change your perspective on the world, but you ever want to make yourself, you ever want to make yourself really depressed, go spend some time in a children's hospital. Sick little, poor little ones like that, you know, they often have no idea what's going on. They don't really have the understanding or will or anything else to know what's going on and to probably not feel terrified or worried or scared. I mean, shit, when my back blew out, I was scared. I thought that was going to be the end of me. But when you're an adult, there's a little bit more of some, I don't know, comfort of age that you get that a little girl that age is not going to have. And especially since she had other brothers and sisters. So like the story says at the end, you imagine those other two kids are going to talk about their fucking sister. Oh, where's the other sister? Is she, you know, out of town? Is she away from school? No. My grandmother killed her in her sleep. So that poor family, that poor little girl, this to me is horror. You want to talk about shit that's scary? This is the sort of shit that is scary. Reverend Master says his spine, leg, and shoulder turned into a hateful person towards people that are always happy. And you know, I don't have any words, man. I can't say, oh, you should get up. I'm not in your position. I've been in a lot of pain before, and it made me hateful and angry and bitter. You know, you only you know how much that condition affects you, and I hope somehow maybe you're eventually supposed to, you know, maybe you can get some treatment or something for that. But I feel for you, brother. I really do. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Yeah, sorry, Tiff, you went from disgusting episode to absolute horror of life tale. Some folks are full on denial until they see it happen versus just believing what they're told, Desi says. And the bonkers part about that is, the again, I feel like the mother should have known. She was there. She was helping with, but you got to figure she was probably just, oh, well, it's really not that bad. Just not thinking at all. It's not just itchy skin. You know, oh, well, she'll be, it makes her a little itchy. She'll be fine. No, it's not just a little itchy. Like, I mean, the fact that something that selfish and stupid, especially since that wasn't a quote-unquote a mistake, you know, and B, you got to figure How, as soon as the daughter said that she was feeling dizzy and itchy, that your next course of action was, well, I'll just give her a little bit of this medicine, put her to bed. I mean, at that point, that should have been your wake-up call that, like, oh, shit, I fucked up. Immediately get those kids in the shower, clean them off, do whatever you could have done to get that off of her. Good Lord. King Dinosaur says, no kidding, when my dad was in the cancer hospital in Seattle, I saw many children, heartbreaking. You want to talk about permanently breaking off a little piece of your soul and having it kind of shatter and fall away? That's one way. I remember when some happy person was like, why do you look so sour? And I almost showed him how much hate I had. Yeah, I mean, Reverend Master, again, I can't really say anything or judge because I don't say I've had back pain that's bad. Man, it's the worst. You know, I feel like people who are happy and generally trying to be happy, it's one thing if they say that. It's another thing if you then explain, look, I have intense pain from some really bad health problems, and it's agony for me day to day. Like, how are they supposed to know? But if you tell them that, and then they continue to just pull a,
well, you should just look on the bright side of life. Whee!
Yeah, then you can let them have it. Then you can let them have it. Desi says, absolutely should have known. I have to wonder how old the mom was and what generational life she grew in. Literal denial of science, the thing for some people, certain areas of time and cultures. I feel like even there, though, you could deny the science. But she had to have seen the little girl covered in rashes and itchy and everything else. So I just don't. That is just so wild to me. Like I say, that is true terror. That is basically putting literally someone else's misery on the plate simply because you refuse to accept the fact that a certain course of action is going to cause them actual, palpable, physical fucking damage. You know, I'm very much a, look, you can say words. Like, you know, if you say words and somebody says, well, that hurt me and that's offensive. Well, you know, you want to continue, that's fine. There's no law against being an asshole. But if you're going to do something that physically causes somebody discomfort and or damage or death, you're walking a little bit into the evil territory. That to me encroaches on evil. You know, I just, yeah. And then calls her a few months. Seriously, fuck off. Like, you call me again, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to hunt you down in your little village, and I'm going to make you feel how my daughter felt. I'm going to rope you up. I'm going to feed you something to the point where you get sick on it. And then when you start to vomit, I'm going to take my strong little hand here, and I'm just going to clamp your mouth closed, and I'm going to let you drown in it. Then you can go apologize to the person that you really should apologize to, which is my daughter. You'll have that opportunity. I'll give you that opportunity. You can have it. But I ain't going to take the fucking phone calls no more. Reverend Master says, in Benning, she thought she was going to grow out of it, something that wasn't with the case with all the shit. Yeah. She's older now. She's probably fine now. It was only when she was a little baby. Now she's growing up. She's older. She'll be fine. Oh, denial is a powerfully stupid thing. Nothing to get to the COVID topic, but what happened there literally around the world. But you know, this is even so much simpler and more potent. That is, take this drop of this thing and look, you touch it to this person and look what immediately happens. That isn't even science. That's just observational. And to Miss Tiffany Chanel's point, was she really in denial? She gave her a Benadryl, so she knew that there was a real, legitimate reaction. So she had to have known. And so whether it's just, oh, my need to do what I want with her hair is greater. See, this is to me where I feel like it's evil. This is where I feel like it's evil. You know, and you can say, yeah, the Benadryl would cancel it out and ignore it. But she still, to me, doesn't get a pass. Because that means that she did it and felt, well, if it gives her some discomfort and some problems, that's not bad enough. Because also, I can just give her some of this medicine and then she'll be fine. But what that means, though, is you still took the step to say, hey, here's this poison. I know this poisons you. It's just a little bit of poison, though. Just take a little bit of the poison. Because even though this little bit of poison makes your body immediately fucking have pain and freak out and fucking you have hives and shit all over the place, it's not a lot of poison. So I'll just give you a little bit. Jesus. Yeah. I agree with Tiff. My mom would be in jail. No excuses. Negligence, manslaughter, something. I have to say I don't have children. Okay. But I do have nieces. And I have had thoughts before that if somebody did something to those nieces, I might actually lose it and do something that gets me put in prison. And a certain part of me that goes, I feel like that's wrong. I feel like in a certain sense, our civilization is a little bit backwards there. So I feel like in the old days, the real old days, everybody would have went, yeah, we get it. We all would have done the same. Like, if everybody goes, yeah, I would have done the same thing. I don't know. That's just, again, this hits really hard to me because, again, I have one niece, like, deathly allergic. Here's a nutty thing. And then I'm going to get back to reading some more of the comments. One of the things that she was really allergic to, very allergic to, is mustard. You would be amazed at how much mustard seed or small portions of mustard are in almost everything. Fucking everything. In a lot of cases, they don't necessarily list it. Well, it's trace amounts. Well, yeah, but if you have a deathly allergy to it, I can't tolerate the small amounts. That opened my eyes to just how much that shit is in everything. And good Lord, here's a cheers to my family for having them go through all that struggle, the dietary and product research you have to go through. Those ingredients on the back includes blah, 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 and other ingredients less than 2%, and then that's all I have. Well, yeah, but if it's 0.02% mustard, that will kill my child. It's just a little bit. They'll be fine. Yeah, just have a little bit. Have a little bit of poison. Yeah, that'd be fine. Just take a little bit. Yeah, does he? Just take a little bit of poison. Just a little sippy sip. You'll be good. Rev Masters, I want to go back to Wild West for how we deal with things. I wish I disagreed with you, but As I get older and crustier, I go, yeah, I think maybe we used to do things a little better. Ms. Tiff says, that's how I feel about my youngest siblings. I was an adult and helped raise them. Yeah, dude, like, be fucking with my family. Like, look, there are enough awful accidents and shit. And I'm not even talking about, like, you know, oh, there's a true accident. I'm talking about a scenario like this. Somebody goes, oh, yeah, I just poisoned him a little bit. I didn't think it would be a big deal. Well, I guess that's death for you then. Ah, it's just, I can't. Here, okay, so Desi still says, stupid, crazy, denial is a bad combo, there's no logic. It'd be one thing if the mom didn't know, but she did, so it's just negligence, denial, stupidity. Here's the, so you just hit the nail on your head. It's hard to wrap your head around a story like that. Here's the thing. I cannot comprehend what was or was not going through that person's mind. And maybe a part of that is because, as I said earlier, I've had allergies my whole life, and I know how terrible they are. I've had chronic pain conditions, so I know how terrible those are. I've seen all those things, and so to me, what she did is fucking anathema. Here's where I'm going to get a little, bring it back to being a little silly. It's ponderous, man, ponderous. Wow. Why the fuck? I can't think of a combo of, and let's rub it all over their head. Here, let's rub it all over their head. I'll tell you what, let's have them gargle. You know what? What is it? Oil lifting or whatever you can do with mouth. Let's use it as a mouthwash too. Here, put some of it in your mouth. Put some of it in your mouth. There's no words. And so apologize for maybe being a little bit of a bummer here on a Wednesday night. But I was like, yeah, I need to do something that's really, really spooky. And I can't think of a spookier scenario than the panic, the nightmare of coming back from something like that and finding out that your children are dead and quote unquote not even by an accident. And then when finding out the circumstances of how it happened, I just Michael Myers is stalking you around the neighborhood with a fucking knife. Okay, he's a creature of pure evil. He's out there, he's coming. Like, it sucks, but it's a different thing when you're like, the people that are supposed to love and care for you are like, yeah, just take a little bit of this poison, you'll be fine. You'll be fine. Just walk it off a little bit. Oh, God, puts it in an incense or humidifier. Yeah, and they didn't even call the parents. That's also pretty good. You know, about the only thing that would have made that story even more fucked up is if they had, like, said, well, the one daughter's dead, so we can't let anybody else know. So let's kill the other daughter. Let's bury them all in the backyard. And then we'll come up with some fucked up scenario about how they were, like, kidnapped or whatever. And then you go through this, like, 10, 20 year, like, the police are looking for the crazy kidnapper. And then one day, like, the dog is digging in the backyard and digs up, like, a fucking skull or something. If that's not an episode of Masters of Horror, I don't know what it is. Here's a not cheers to that. Blood will always be the first ones to fuck you over. It's almost like the people that know they know all the cracks and chinks in your armor are going to just find something a little slender and sharp and pokey to just stick that right in there. And then people wonder why other people get bitter and defensive and aloof and so on and so on and so on. It's fucked up. It's fucked up. All right, so on that unhappy note, it has now crossed over the hour mark. I think I'm going to stop the podcast episode. So podcast listeners, if you stuck through the show, you know, there's Spotify Q&A. You can do review or add your own stories, whatever you'd like. And of course, if you ever wish to have a long version or a long portion of some story that you would like told, the show is always open. And if you don't want your name read, or you don't want me to announce that it's from you, or change the names or whatever you want, that can always be done. But just like hopefully sharing some of those stories may be cathartic for some of the terrible stuff that we've been through. I'll read it. Same token, you want to share some big, happy, bright, silly stories? We're good with those too. While we wait for King Dinosaur's book. If you ever finish. No, his book is done. We'll get to his book soon. Dr. Perry Falls is here. Look at that emote. That's pretty great. Dr. Perry, check. Dr. Perry, you came in right at the end of just a harrowing, harrowing fucking story. Just what the fuckery in spades. So, podcast listeners, we'll see you at the end of all these episodes. Stay safe, keep the faith, and all of that good shit. And we will see you again Monday.